Hey guys, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sydney.
And this is Tales of the Wicked.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Tales of the Wicked. Megan, how you
Hi.
doing over there?
Got another cold. Another day, another cold.
Another day, another cold.
But besides that, I'm fine. Just sleepy. Really craving some chicken wings right now.
Chicken wings?
I was supposed to go to B-Dubs for lunch today, but I had to cancel.
Oh, that's right. You were gonna have a lunch. Who are you going to lunch with?
My friend Rachel.
Oh, ooh. Okay. I don't know who Rachel is.
I worked with her at Craft Made.
Okay.
Craft Made.
I said, ooh, like I knew, but I didn't know at
You don't
all.
know Rachel. I keep her
Nope.
away from you guys because you guys are too much, and I don't want her to be what was the word I used when
Overwhelmed.
I told her tainted? Or I don't want her to be scared off by you guys or influenced by you guys.
What do
Like
you
Rachel, I
mean?
like you the way that you are. You don't need to beat these bozos. You're fine.
You love us, bozos. Whatever. That's fine. Well, I don't feel bad that you didn't get to go to lunch with Rachel then. Calling us
It is what it is.
bozos.
I'm just picking up B-dubs for myself for dinner tonight.
I could see you like explaining all of us and being brutally honest about every single one of us. And then being like, yeah, I just hang out with them, but I don't really like them.
Damn, you can read me like a book.
I can. I really can. I literally like, I'm thinking of like an old, like a, well, it's not really old, but like an early 2000s movie or like Mean Girls when it has like the music playing and it's like showing the different like tables in high school and like the different people and being like, and these are the jocks and da, da 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 da. Like I can see you being like, and this is Sydney and she is A, B, and C, and this is John and he's this, and then you at the end being like, yeah, I'm just around them because I have to be.
I just end it with they're a lot. They're a lot to take in if you're not ready.
Oh,
That's
that's
true,
funny.
though. You know
I
it's
mean,
true. This group
are
is
we
a
a lot?
lot.
How are we
Yeah.
a lot? Because there's a lot of us and a
That
lot of different
and
personalities.
yes, everyone's full of different personalities.
That's what keeps it interesting.
But if you're not socially equipped to deal with it, it's a lot.
Well, I could see that. I mean, we were a lot like 5 years ago.
Well, that was also back when I was describing you to her because I've known her for so long.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no,
That's
I
back
wouldn't have
when we were
either.
a lot.
That's when we were like bad a lot. Now we're a
Like, I'm
lot, but we're
talking
not like a bad
pre-Allie
version of a lot.
days.
Yes,
That's
yeah.
how long ago this was before Allie. BA.
Okay. When you really did not like any of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all hated each other.
Oh, how times have changed, how we have grown.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot better at hiding it.
Oh my God. I love everybody. There's no hiding it. Oh, we are very different when it comes to the social aspects of our lives. I very, very much enjoy being social. And I like don't like not seeing people, whether it's friends or family. That's also how I literally, that's like I was raised around like social people. Like my family always had people over and always had little like get-togethers and parties, and everything was a, invite like so and so or have this person come over. Like just literally I've always been around it, so I like I'm the same way.
Nope, we had a
But
big family. My dad moved us away, so we didn't have to know of our big family. We were alone, and we liked it that way.
that's like John, whenever we were actually when we were coming to Parker's birthday. So back up, I think it was Friday. Yeah, Friday, John and I were at dinner and we were like, you know what? Like we haven't had like everyone together in so long, like Jason and Katie and you, and we were like, let's try to come up with something that we could all do. And we're like, also, let's try to come up with something that's a little bit different, because, you know, instead of doing the same stuff. So my mom and one of my coworkers, they've done this axe throwing thing. So I was like, oh, well, why don't we go axe throwing? Like, that's something that Jason and Katie would very much enjoy.
I thought Jay picked it out. I thought that was his thing.
No, it was John and I's idea. So we were like, whenever we're at Parker's birthday party, if we get a second, like maybe we could see if everyone's available next Saturday. And then also we picked Canton because we were like, well, Megan's mom's in Canton, so that way, like, if she does need a baby, well, she moved. That's right, she got married. Now that I'm staring at you, shaking your head no. But in that general area, so we were like, her mom's there. Like, they could drop Parker off, so that way she can come too. Like, we had this whole thing like cut and dry, easy as could be, planned out. And then we're driving to Parker's birthday party, and John goes, you know when you're in those moods where you make plans a while ago, and then when you actually have to do it, like you decide that you're just not feeling social and don't want to do it? And I was just like smiling and looking at him, and I said, no, I don't know what that feels like.
Oh
And he goes,
God,
yeah,
I
of
know that
course you
feeling all
don't.
too well.
He was like, of course you don't know what it feels like. I was like, I just like being around people. It makes me happy. I get bored. I like being alone somewhat, and I like lazy days, but not that much. Like, I have fun in the beginning of my lazy day, and then I hit a point where I'm like, all right, I'm tired of doing this. Like, I want to do something.
No, I could be alone for the rest of my life. Like, I feel like even as a married couple, I would be okay if Aaron moved into a different house. Like, I like to be alone all of the time. The only person I want around me is Parker.
Yeah,
Like,
I don't.
I could live the rest of my life alone. I even told Aaron,
Be
like,
so
if we ever get
secluded,
divorced,
though.
I was like, if we ever get divorced, I won't remarry because I want to be alone. Like, this is it for me.
Polar opposites. Polar opposites. But yeah. So I am excited to go axe throwing, but I'm really sad that you're not going to be there with us now. I was like jacked. I know that you're probably excited to not be there. But like, I was jacked that everyone's going to be together. But if you don't want to go, then I mean, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Well, I was gonna go, but then I got this cold, and I was talking to Aaron beforehand because I was like up in the air about it. I'm like, do I want to go? Do I not want to go? I'm like, I'll go. I don't want to go axe throwing. I'm like, I'll just hang out, but I'll go. Aaron's like, God, when did you become so boring? I'm like, whoa, you don't have to throw that out at me. I'm like, I want to do stuff just at my house by
Oh
myself.
gosh.
Doesn't mean I'm boring. I think I'm fun.
I think I'm a hoot.
Right. He also doesn't think I'm funny, and I think I'm fucking hilarious, so.
John was laughing earlier this morning. He was sitting in his office, and I was finishing up my case. And he was just like crying, laughing. And he goes, oh, I'm just so funny. I'm like, no, you're not.
I think John's funny.
I think he is kind of funny too, but
Like,
I just
in the
was
way a
laughing
mature grandpa would be funny, I think John's
because
funny.
I'll make sure to tell him that.
I'll tell him that myself. I have no shame. It's a compliment.
It's funny because the door just opened and he's peeking in, looking at me with his eyes squinted, like, you fucking bitch.
Hey, John, come here.
Megan said, what was that, John? He asked if we were talking shit, and I said,
No,
yes,
I'm
John, we are
giving you a
talking shit.
compliment.
Megan's giving you a compliment, but you can't hear her. You can only hear me. Goodbye. Back to the podcast. Oh, so you don't watch. I'm not going to talk about the whole slap thing because it's annoying, but did you watch the Oscars?
We only watched the slap.
Duh, I'm tired of like hearing it every
Aaron
time
fast
I.
forwarded to it. And I was talking to him. I was like, you know, I feel like I don't give a fuck about award shows, but I like movies, so I feel like this one would be the only one I'd be into watching.
Yes, yeah. I watch the Oscars every year, and then whatever movie wins, I watch it, or whatever movies were nominated for an Oscar, I try to watch them. So, like, one of my favorite movies is Call Me by Your Name, which I've told you about. And then I saw it was nominated for an Oscar, and I was like, I have to watch it now. And I realized Timothée Chalamet and Armie Hammer, who is now a cannibal, but I like watched it, and I was like, this is the greatest movie of all time. Like, I have the book, even though I don't really care
Wait,
to
hold on.
read.
Hold on. I'm gonna. He's a cannibal?
Yeah, you don't know that?
Who?
Well, okay, because I'm weird. When I watch movies, I obsess over the actors and I have to know everything about them.
I do that too. I
And
Google through the whole movie because I
yes.
want to know about the
So
actors.
and Call Me by Your Name, the two main characters are Timothée Chalamet, which you know who Timothée Chalamet is,
Oh, yes.
and Armie Hammer.
His name
And
is Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer, yes, Armie Hammer.
Is he like a ridiculous redneck or something?
No, look him up as we're
Oh.
as I'm talking. Look him up. He's also very beautiful.
I just pictured him like with a beer gotten covered in camo. My name's
He doesn't look like
Armie
that.
Hammer.
Nobody looks like at all.
Like to play with guns and spit.
You're so wrong. It's crazy. But he, so I watched this movie. I absolutely fell in love with this movie. I have it. I watch it all the time. I have the book. I obsess over Timothée Chalamet, and I was obsessed with Armie Hammer. But like a year ago or 2 years
Sorry, I can't
ago,
get over that name.
that's what I'm gonna name my unborn child, Armie.
Army Hammer.
Armie. But he, these girls came out with these allegations that he like abuse. He was married. He's not married anymore. And he has two kids. But these girls came out with his allegations, basically that like he abused them and sexually assaulted them. And they released these text messages that he like sent them about like how he wanted this one girl to get her rib like surgically removed so that way he could have it for himself. And he branded this other girl with like an A for Army, like right on like her like pelvis. He said something. I could be messing this up. It's been a while since I've read the messages, but there was one about like him, like I could be wrong, but it was something like he like killed a cat and held the heart or something like that. I don't know. These
Ew.
wild, crazy things. And now he is very clearly shunned from Hollywood, and he was in rehab, and I haven't really seen much of him since.
But what does that have to do with him being a cannibal?
Well, so something about him. There's more messages. I'm just forgetting what they are.
I'll
There's a
look
reason
into
why
it
they
on my
said he's
own
a
time.
cannibal. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, the Oscars, and the reason why I started this whole conversation was because of Timothée Chalamet. Because did you see what he wore to the Oscars?
No.
Oh.
Do you want me to look
I
it
mean,
up?
he
Here, I'll look it
I
up.
mean, he is a very twiggy, skinny kind of guy, but oh Lord, did he look good? He
Okay.
didn't wear like a shirt. Here, I'll send it to you as
Oh,
we're
good God.
pause. Do 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 do.
Oh.
I just send it to
Oh, did you? I was looking up on Google.
Yeah. Because he had an after party outfit and then he had his actual like Oscar outfit. I mean, like, come on
God,
now.
he's so cute.
He is so cute. I just love him.
Good for
We were
him.
watching, yeah, we were, I mean, I'm a slut for celebrities. And we were watching and like Jake Gyllenhaal came on the screen and I was like yelling and John was like, I mean, I'm literally sitting right here. Like, come on. Please
Oh,
stop.
okay. He acts like he's not gonna wet his pants when Lily Reinhart comes on the screen.
Her, did you see what she wore to the after party?
Was it that red dress?
Yeah, that was, she didn't, that looked like it was too small on her.
Yeah, I saw. I was 'cause I saw a picture of the what's her name? Camila
Oh, her dress was pretty.
Mendez. I saw a
Yeah.
picture of her. I'm like, "Oh, I wonder what Lily Reinhart wore." I'm like, "It's not the worst, but it's just it doesn't have that wow factor."
No, it didn't. It was weird. And when I say it looked too small, I didn't mean by she looked fat, but like the top half of it, like where it covered like her boobs, like I think it was meant to be like real thin, but it just awkwardly looked
It was just a weird dress.
weird. Yes, yeah. I felt like that came off really bad, and I didn't mean for it to come off bad at all, but
No, it was just an odd dress, but I feel like all of these celebrities wear the oddest shit. I'm like, why would you wear that?
they do. They do.
That's half the reason why I
Yeah.
can't get behind celebrities. I'm like, I feel like, I don't know. They wear the dumbest shit. It's so annoying.
Sometimes it works though. Sometimes I'm there for it, and then other times I'm not. Speaking of another celebrity, Harry Styles released a new song.
Oh, hold on. Let me pretend to care for a second. Oh my God, that's so exciting, Sid.
Yeah, did you listen to it?
Yeah, I've had it on repeat for the past 4 days.
4 days, you heard it before it came out.
I've had it on
Exclusive.
repeat. Yeah. Well, I'm his number one fan. So he sends all of his new releases directly to me.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're pretty tight like that.
Yeah. Wow. This is Tales of the Wicked, where we showcase how completely different Megan and I are.
Hey, at least I try to care.
I know you. I know when you don't care.
I'm just being polite because we're on air. Normally, I would
Thank
just
you.
tell you to shut the fuck up and move on.
Yeah, that's our friendship.
Yeah, I'm just really mean.
Well, do you have anything else to add? I feel like I've been talking this whole time. Do you have anything to add, Megan?
No, and I'm gonna request that you just keep talking the whole time because my throat hurts.
All right. Well,
I'm
we'll make
trying
this
not
a
to eat all these cough drops right now. I figured sucking on a hard candy wouldn't be the best for an audio show, so I'm
No.
really resistant here.
All right. Well, we'll cut it short then, and I can just slip on into the case.
I'm honestly just waiting until it's chicken nugget time, chicken wing time.
Okay. Well, let us jump into our ad break really quick, and then we'll start with the case. Okay. So, when I was thinking about what I wanted to do this week, I was trying to find stuff that was a little more well known. It was kind of like a popular case. So I had two that I found that I thought were interesting, and one is obviously the one that I did. And then there was this other one. Do you know about the Hello Kitty murder?
No, I've never heard of that.
You don't? Okay, so that's the
No.
one that I wanted to do, but it happened in like Hong Kong, and there was no way that I'd ever be able to pronounce any of the names, so I'm not gonna do it. I
See, I
wasn't
always
even
get
gonna.
afraid to do like foreign ones too, because I'm like, God, I'm gonna butcher all these names and people are gonna get mad and
Yeah,
I don't want to
but
deal with it.
you should look up the Hello Kitty murder because it was pretty interesting, but I will never do it. I'm not going to do it. I can't pronounce the names or the locations of anything. So shout out to the Hello Kitty murder. Look it up. It's cool. So the one that I'm going to do, I'm nervous that you might know what it is just because you listen to more true crime podcasts. And according to Google, a couple different sites, it's a pretty popular case. But the case that I'm doing this week is the boy in the box.
No, I don't know this one.
Oh, you don't know this one? Okay. All right. It's a somewhat shorter case, but I just thought it was like super interesting. And I, from what I've seen, it's a pretty well-known case. So I thought it would be cool just to, I don't know, give everyone something that's a little more well known. So yeah, this week I'm going to talk about the boy in the box. So the boy in the box case is just as bizarre as it is mysterious. In February 1957 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, our neighboring state, a muskrat hunter was setting out and checking his traps placed in the brush in a park. During this time, he came across a box laying on the ground. When looking inside, he discovered the body of a young boy. The man supposedly said he didn't want to report his findings to the police because he would get in trouble for setting out traps. So he ignored the body and moved on. A few days later, a 26-year-old, Frederick J. Benonis, I apologize if I pronounced that wrong, was driving along the road when he saw a rabbit jump into the brush. Knowing there were traps set out by another local, he pulled over to make sure the rabbit was safe. When pushing through the brush, he came across the body of a young boy inside a cardboard box. It wasn't until a couple days later that Frederick would report his findings to the police. Initially, after making his discovery, he didn't want to make the report because he didn't want to look like he was connected to the boy in the box. Although, after seeing a news report about a missing child, he knew it was time to come forward. And I just want to say now, the report about the missing child was not the boy in the box. It was another child in the area that had went missing.
Okay.
When police arrived, they found a 15 by 19 by 35 centimeter JCPenney box that was for a bassinet. Inside the box was a boy that was naked and wrapped in a cotton Native American styled blanket. It had a diamond pattern with green, white, brown, and red colors. There was also a smaller piece of the blanket that had been cut off at the bottom of the box that had automotive grease on it. After the boy was taken and examined, the boy inside the box was estimated to be between the ages of 3 and 6 years old. He weighed 30 pounds, had blue eyes, and light brown hair. His hair was matted down and looked to be recently cut because clumps of his hair was also found around his body. The boy was severely malnourished, with his rib cage being very prominent under his skin, and he was also covered in multiple bruises indicating he was abused. However, the boy did not have any broken bones. The medical examiner noted that he had several scars on his body, making three of them caused by possible surgical procedures due to their locations. For example, the boy had a well-healed scar on his left ankle, which looked to have been cut to expose a vein so that a catheter could be inserted to give a transfusion of some type. The boy's right palm and soles of his feet were rounded and wrinkled, indicating that he was submerged in water around the time of his death. And finally, his esophagus contained a darkened brown residual, indicating he vomited prior to his death. It was determined that the boy had likely died from blunt force trauma due to the four rounded bruises on his head. They, however, were unable to confirm an exact time of death due to the state of the body, and estimated him to have died anywhere from a few days to 2 weeks prior to him being found. So, the obvious question, who's the boy, where did he come from, and who were his parents or abusers?
Yeah, who did police... this to him? Like, how did he
exactly.
end up there?
Exactly. So, police fingerprinted the boy and cross-checked his footprints in hope of finding a quick match. There was nothing. This led them to believe he was possibly born at home instead of at a hospital, being that there were no records of him found. However, if you think about it, he still had surgical scars on his body, or what appeared to be surgical scars, and the boy was also circumcised. Next, the police turned to the box itself. They knew the box was for a bassinet, and it had a serial number on it that they could trace back to a JCPenney 15 miles away. The store sold 12 bassinets in this similar box, although everyone that had purchased the item paid in cash, leaving no record. After seeing the news story of the boy in the box, 8 of the 12 purchasers came forward, stating on record that they either still had the box or they put the box out for trash collection. Police were no closer to solving the case. The blanket the boy was wrapped in was also examined by the Philadelphia Textile Institute. They had concluded that the blanket was either made in Granby, Quebec in Canada, or Swannanoa, North Carolina. However, there was no way to be sure since there were thousands of this blanket that had been produced and sold, leaving police at another dead end. So right now they have this boy that they kind of guesstimated how old he is and different things about him. They have the box, which led them nowhere. They have the blanket, that which led them nowhere as well. At the crime scene, the police also found a blue corduroy hat in the brush near the box. The size of the hat was 7 1/8 and had a Eagle Cap and Company label on it. Eagle Cap and Company was a smaller company located in South Philadelphia, and the hats were made by Miss Hannah Robbins. When visiting Miss Robbins, she stated that she remembered the man that purchased the hat because she had customized it for him. She described the man as blonde and between the ages of 26 and 30. However, he paid for the hat in cash and had not returned to the store since. After visiting hundreds of stores within the area, police came to another dead end. No one recognized the man described or the boy. Police took many steps in hopes of finding someone that could either claim the boy or bring any information forward about who he could possibly be. The boy's case was broadcast throughout the country, and over 400,000 flyers of the boy were printed and sent out across Philadelphia and surrounding areas. A forensic facial reconstruction was done, and a drawing of a happy young boy was also included on all of the flyers. A flyer could be found in public locations like at police stations or the post office. A flyer could also be found included in every gas bill that was sent to residents' houses each month. Police had also published an article describing the boy's scars and injuries in a pediatric journal with the hope that a physician had treated a child with similar injuries. So really, police were doing everything that they could with what they had to try to figure out something.
Yeah, it was a lot of dead ends.
Yes. So people traveled from 10 different states to Pennsylvania in an attempt to identify the boy. Each attempt failed, leading police no closer to solving the case. After no one was able to identify the boy and nothing came from their media attention, police took a new approach at trying to solve the case. A medical examiner employee took a post-mortem image of the boy dressed and in a seated position. And I will say this picture is like posted online, like the, one of the sources that I used, they have this picture and it's really creepy that it's just kind of like the corpse of a young beaten boy, like dressed and sitting up. But the medical examiner then published a fake story in a newspaper indicating that the boy had died as a result of an accident and that his loved ones had not been able to afford a funeral. His hope was that he could coax someone coming out of hiding in relation to the case. His attempt was also unsuccessful. So police had very, very little information about this boy. Every single lead that they had gone down had come to a dead end, and they had absolutely nothing. No one came forward. I mean, people came forward to try to identify the boy, but it never led anywhere. And anyone that came forward that said like, oh, I think I know who this is, you know, took it back, and that wasn't the actual boy that they were looking for, or that families were looking for and hoping he would be. So basically they had nothing. And it is now 2022 and 65 years later, and the identity of the boy in the box is still unknown. In the Ivy Hill Cemetery in Cedarbrook, Philadelphia, lies the boy in a large plot that is entirely covered in flowers and stuffed animals from all the locals. His headstone reads, "America's unknown child, being a permanent reminder of Philadelphia's most baffling murder case." And although the case has run cold, it's still heavily talked about this day, and there are many notable theories that have emerged throughout the years. So, some of the theories, I have the first one.
Wait, so we're left with nothing?
Nothing.
What the hell?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay, cool. I was hoping to get some sort of anything out of this.
No, that's why, like, I was reading this, and I was like, wait, they don't have anything? Like, I was, like, reading it, like, you know what, like, okay, they're giving me all these details about the boy, oh, no one came forward, and then I was waiting for it to be, like, 10 years later, we found out that the boy DNA matched this person.
That's what I was waiting for.
No.
Damn. All right.
So not only is the identity of the boy unknown, but also, like, his parents or abusers or whoever had this boy, like, no one knows anything except for there is a boy dead in a box.
Mm-hmm. I looked at the picture too, and I feel like just like the way his face looks, you could tell he was like, he would probably, I don't know, I pictured him being such a rascal, like in a, like a good way, like I don't know, like kind of like how I picture Aaron as a kid, how he was just like super goofy and like funny and like crazy running around. I just like look at this kid and like that's the image I get. Like I feel like he would have been like super like funny and like, I don't know, that's just
right.
He just looks like he would have been into some shit. Yeah. But like in all the good way possible. Like, I don't mean
Right.
like a bad thing.
Yeah, like he means no harm. He's just like a cute
Like a
young little boy that
goofball.
likes to cause some problems. Why not? Like, let's get into some stuff. So the first theory is in 1960, the medical examiner on the case was told by a psychic that the boy in the box had come from a local foster home 1.5 miles from where the body was found. So this medical examiner, he was the original examiner on the case. And from what I've saw from different sources, he took this case extremely personal. So he basically made finding the identity of this young boy like his life goal. This is the only thing he focused on. And he even I the examiner had passed away, and he studied this case up until he died. So part and another thing that I saw in my sources is that he put like thousands of dollars of his own money into trying to find the identity of this boy. So what I saw was he went to a psychic, and he had the psychic hold what am I trying to say? The staples like of the JCPenney box that held it together. He had her hold the staples of the box in her hand and then try to give him any information that he had. Like, this man was so desperate to try to solve this case and figure out who this poor young boy was that he went to a psychic for it, like on his own time. But I mean, this is one of the most popular theories. So the psychic said that he came from a local foster home, 1.5 miles from where the body was found. So the foster home had a bassinet in it that was sold in the same exact box that the body was found in. And also, there were multiple blankets with a similar pattern on it to the one that was wrapped around the boy found in the box. An employee of the foster home insisted that the boy was born to the stepdaughter of the man who ran the home. The employee stated that the boy died by accident and that they disposed of his body so that the stepdaughter would not be exposed as an unwed or single mother.
A
Despite
fucking
this,
accident.
so, despite the circumstantial evidence, the police could not find any solid links between the boy in the box and the foster family. And this was with the original medical examiner. He was the one that, went to the psychic, and then he went and the police went to this foster home. He ended up passing away, the medical examiner did. And that was originally in 1960. Then in 1998, the investigation was turned over to a new police lieutenant, and they looked back into this lead. They came to the same conclusion as the original investigation. However, this time, the man running the foster home was married to his stepdaughter. Which, like, fishy, is it not?
Wait, he was married to his own stepdaughter?
Yes. So when they originally went to this foster home, the man that ran the foster home was married to a woman, and she had a daughter, and she came in, and she was his stepdaughter. And supposedly, according to the employee, it was her son that had died on accident, and then they disposed of the body. And then when they go back to look into the case, he is divorced to that other woman, and he is now married to the stepdaughter.
Oh,
So
all right.
like was it his kid? Like, what if there was like something going on there?
I don't know.
I mean, that's a little fishy to me. And that did that my that saying did not come from any source. This is just from my own brain. Like, what if, like, I mean, he ended up marrying the stepdaughter, and maybe he did it like in an abusive way. I don't know. Like, or maybe it was consensual that they got married. But like, what if that was his kid? And then they killed it.
So, but if he intended on marrying the stepdaughter anyways, why would they kill the kid? I don't
Yeah.
know. See, I just. But then again, I feel like I'm trying to give. If these are the people who did, I feel like I'm giving them true credit and like really trying to come up with logical reasons because a lot of these people who do all these like heinous things don't have any logic.
Right.
So I feel like I'm giving them too much credit and I need to just not think too much about it because it's just gonna annoy me.
Well, that theory led them nowhere, and nothing happened with that.
Of course.
So then we have another theory, and this was in February of 2002. A woman referred to as M came forward. She claimed that her mother purchased the boy and he suffered from physical abuse for years. M claimed that after the boy vomited up his baked beans at dinner, the mother bashed his head against a wall as punishment. She then gave him a bath, during which he died. Police followed this lead as there were the remains of baked beans found in his stomach when he came in, and also his fingers appeared to have been wrinkled from water. So a lot of things kind of matched.
Yeah.
And then M also gave a description of the boy as a small child with long hair. This also matched the theory that the boy's hair was recently cut before being put into the box. So everything kind of is adding up here with this one, with this woman that's coming forward. Unfortunately, police eventually let the theory go as they were unable to verify M's claims. After looking into her background, they found a history of severe mental illness. They also attempted to collaborate her claims with neighbors and friends, in which all of them denied ever seeing the child in the home. The theory was eventually dismissed as ridiculous. So another theory has come and gone, and we still are no closer to figuring out who the boy in the box is.
I don't know. That second one seems most likely to me, but...
Well, I thought that that's what I thought about the first one, and then I read the second one, and I was like, oh, well, that one's just kind of like...
The baked beans. It makes more sense.
The baked beans.
It always comes back to the beans.
It does come back to the beans. That was the same... No, it was pineapples. I was trying to think about the John Beignet case and, like, the food in her stomach. Yeah, that was
pineapple.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot of other theories, but these are, like, the main ones that kept coming up in all of my sources. The third and the last theory is that author David Stout theorized that the boy's parents were likely poor, possibly carnival or migrant workers. This would allow them to travel frequently without leaving a paper trail. In 1961, carnival workers Kenneth and Irene Dudley were arrested after their 7-year-old daughter was found deceased in a wooded area in Virginia. The girl was wrapped in a blanket and had signs of abuse and malnutrition. Several of the couple's children had gone missing, and many of them had passed away due to their abuse, although none of them were able to be matched with the boy found in the box.
And they couldn't do any, like, DNA testing?
They didn't do any. And he also just theorized, this is just, from what I saw, this is just an author that wrote a book about this case, and he theorized this, but it wasn't any.
Okay. It wasn't like police theory.
No, it wasn't followed by the police or anything. So to this day, many are haunted by the unknown identity of the young boy in the box. The hope is that one day we will learn who the boy is and what actually happened to them, to him. Although the case is still open, it remains unsolved. And that is the case of the boy in the box.
Damn, what a bummer. I hate unsolved cases.
Yeah.
I want to solve them.
I want to know what's going on. But, I mean, it's definitely like a shorter case because it's just kind of like, here's a boy. Here's a box. This is what we know. This is everything we've tried to do. And we have nothing.
Ugh, so I hate those kind of shorter cases. It's so frustrating.
But I was just, I was just reading it, and I was like, holy cow, like, this poor young kid, like, no one claimed him, which, in my head, obviously means that his parents or the people that took care of him did this, because why are they going to come forward? And also, like, how does he have these surgical procedures, but then no one has any, like, record of him?
So, my immediate thought was, were either of his parents or anyone that they knew a doctor, and they did, like, under the table operation, so there would still be no record.
Oh, Megan, that's smart. I didn't think that was about,
like,
that.
My immediate thought, like, oh, there was no record of him, so they probably did all this, like, hush hush, like, under the table.
Wow. But then if that's the case, do you think that, I mean, I feel like everywhere and every theory that's come about, like, the boy was sold, he was in a foster home, like, it made it seem like he was, like, this very poor boy, but in your theory, like, maybe he came from a well-known family that was just messed up and they abused him.
Well, maybe this all goes back to the first theory where it was that stepdaughter's baby and they were trying to keep it hush hush about it. Maybe they knew a doctor
Because they're a
and.
foster home. I mean, you would have to get kids taken care of. I didn't think about that.
Yes, this old brain's good for thinking about more than just chicken wings, my friend.
You were present during part of the episode.
I was listening.
Just
I
took a
did
minute.
have a little bit of a hard time focusing at some points. Like it, I'm sure you said what year this happened, but I missed what year this happened in.
It happened in 1957.
Okay, thank you. Because you
Which
mentioned
also,
JCPenney's, so I was like, wait, hold on. When was JCPenney's? Like, when
when
did
did
they come around?
JCPenney's come around? I also, this is kind of off topic, but like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I didn't realize that Philadelphia is like all the way down in the corner of the state.
Oh yeah, it's far.
Like I've seen like concerts that come that like don't come to Cleveland, but they go to Philadelphia. And I was like, oh, that's in Pennsylvania. That won't be too bad. No.
No, it's far. And I know that because I've looked it up to see how far away it is for concerts.
Oh, there you go. Look at
It's far. I
that.
mean, I would drive it if it were, if the show were worth it, I would drive there, but they usually come to Columbus, which is closer.
They come to the Agora or Columbus. Well, that is my case for you this week. It is unsolved. It's kind of short and sweet and frustrating.
Oh yeah,
And I
we'll
hope
be
you
thinking
enjoyed it.
about this one.
I enjoyed looking it up. And BuzzFeed does a like unsolved. I don't know if you've ever watched the BuzzFeed unsolved videos.
I've heard about them, but I haven't watched them.
Oh, I've always enjoyed them. So that was like one of the things that I used and I watched and I was like, oh man, this case is cool. But yeah, that's
Huh,
all that
I'm
I
gonna
have
be
for you this
thinking
week.
about this later while I'm playing Animal Crossing. I'll be
Who is
thinking
this
about the
dang
boy in the
boy?
box. Yeah.
Yeah, poor kid. I don't like when it's kids.
I
He's just
know.
unclaimed.
I know. It really
Poor
bummed
thing.
me out. You just came out of the box with, well, you came out of it like, oh, this boy, he was this old. Like, he looked like this. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Like, I didn't even get time to get eased into it.
No, I mean, there's no way of easing it in. There's just a boy in a box. If
Dang. All right.
you had a dollar for every time you heard a boy in a box in the last 20 minutes, you can go get yourself some more cough drops.
I could go get myself another milkshake.
Ooh, there you go.
It was really good.
All right. Well, that is all that I have for everyone this week. I hope that you enjoyed this case and enjoyed the way that I told it. I know it's been told a couple different ways by a lot of different people. BuzzFeed is a pretty big company. I know a lot of people listen to them. But if you did enjoy the case, as always, don't forget to share it with your friends and let them know about Tales of the Wicked and the different stuff that we talk about. If you have any cases that you want us to cover, like we say every week, don't be afraid to send us a message. We always like hearing feedback from you guys and knowing what you enjoy or what you don't enjoy, what you would like to hear. That way, we're just kind of gearing our show more towards, you guys and not just us and our interests. If you like the
Yeah.
gruesome hack 'em up type stuff that Megan talks about, you let us know and I will sweat through each case for you.
I will be happy to cover another gruesome one for you guys.
And Megan will cover it for you. Megan, do you have anything to add?
As always, you guys can rate and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out a lot. And I think that's all I had to say.
You're doing
Sorry,
great, sweetie.
my brain is just not working today. I'm trying so hard to think of something to say, and it's just I can't think of anything.
Your sick brain.
I know.
Well, we will be back next week, and hopefully we'll have more to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And hopefully you don't have to hear my annoying voice the whole time. I feel like I've talked this whole entire time. I'm annoyed with my own voice.
Yeah, your voice is nicer than mine. I've been told my voice is quite shrill.
What?
Yeah, I was told at my last job I'm not allowed to yell because I'm too shrill.
Interesting. Well, we'll be here next week and we hope you guys are too. And that's
And
all that
we
we have
hope,
for you.
as always, Keep it creepy.
Creepy, creepy. See you later.
Bye.